This morning's scripture lesson comes from Psalm 119, verses 1 through 16. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy are those who keep his decrees, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently, oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinances. I will observe your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart, so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your words. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for these words from your holy scripture. And may we, like the psalmist, find our delight in them. Amen. I heard a story once of a collector of rare books who ran into an acquaintance, and this acquaintance told him that he had just thrown away an old Bible that he'd found in a dusty old box, and the acquaintance happened to mention that Guten somebody or other had printed it. Not Gutenberg, gasped the collector. Why, yes, that was it, said the friend. You idiot, declared the collector. You've thrown away one of the first books ever printed. A copy recently sold at auction for nearly $1 million. Oh, I don't think a book would have been worth anything close to that much, replied the man. The book had scribblings all over the margins by some guy named Martin Luther. I seriously doubt that there's any truth to that story. But I do think that there is a priceless treasure in most, if not all, of our homes, namely the Bible. And I have to wonder if that treasure is on a bookshelf somewhere on your house, or maybe it is in a dusty old box. And maybe it should be right there on your desk or at your bedside table, certainly within easy reach. I read recently that 92% of Americans own at least one copy of the Bible. Not just Christians, 92% of all Americans. I read that more than 20 million copies of the Bible are sold each year. One other interesting fact, the Bible is the most shoplift book in the world. Each year, the American Bible Society issues an annual State of the Bible report. It revealed that in 2022, only 39% of Americans say that they read the Bible at least 3 times during the year. Only 10% of Americans report that they read the Bible daily. And what this tells me is there are a lot of Bibles out there collecting dust on the shelves or maybe in old boxes across America. All of which makes me wonder what the writer of Psalm 119 would have to say about that. Our scripture this morning is a poem written by someone who recognized the treasure that is God's holy word. Our author was also was so passionate about Scripture that he took the time and made the effort to write out 176 verses of praise, making this the longest chapter in the Bible. You might look at Psalm 119 as a love letter to God and to God's Word. And as I hinted at to the children, Psalm 119 is a unique piece of Scripture. It is not only the longest chapter in the Bible at 176 verses, the verses are grouped into 22 stanzas of 8 lines each. It is also what is called an acrostic poem, which means each of the 22 stanzas begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay? But not just each stanza, but each of those 8 lines in that stanza begins with that same Hebrew letter. So if we were to do this in English, we would have a 26 stanza poem of 8 lines each, and each line in the stanza would begin with the various letters of the alphabet. So the first 8 lines would begin with the letter A, and the next 8 would all begin with the letter B, until you got all the way to Z. Now, X might be a little trouble, unless we start all those 8 lines with xylophone, or maybe Xenia, Ohio. But you get the idea. And this alone makes Psalm 119 a special poem, but there is more to it than just a letter game. As I said to the kids, each line of the poem, all 176 of them, make a reference to the Holy Scripture. In each line, the author declares his love for the law, his obedience to God's commands, his reverence for God's teachings, and so on throughout the whole poem. And I put the page number of this psalm in your hymnal because I know you're dying, look and check. So go right ahead if you want. Our author was also so enamored with Scripture, so thrilled with exploring the depths, so moved by his commands, he took the time to write 176 lines of poetry about it, and then to organize those lines, as I said, as an acrostic. And each of those lines expressing something about God's Word. When I went to the store to buy a Valentine's Day card, yes, I've already done that, there were dozens on the shelves, dozens of different ways to say, I love you. And Psalm 119 does the same thing in this poem. And what connects me with Psalm 119 is not the skill of the author, but the passion. I can only imagine how he approached reading Scripture, with a delight that I can only hope to imitate, and apparently most Americans as well. So why is that? Why is the best-selling book in America not being read? Why do 90% of Americans have Bibles and only 10% read them? And the percentages for those who profess to be Christians aren't much better. Only a third of Christians say that they read the Bible regularly. Again, why is that? We know that we should read and study the Word of God, and we also know that it doesn't happen so well. We know that it is something that we are supposed to do, and yet we often don't do the things that we are supposed to do, like exercise regularly or eat right. And when it comes to reading the Bible, we have lots of reasons to put it off until later. Sometimes much later. Perhaps the primary reason is that the Bible is just too big. It is an intimidating book. We think of it as being something like War and Peace, which is this big, right? I've never read War and Peace because it just looks too big. But then I've read all 7 of the Harry Potter books. So I guess I can't use size as an excuse. The size alone is not what makes the Bible intimidating. The Bible also can be confusing. And if I want confusing, I'll start doing my taxes this week. But then there are plenty of books that I have read that are difficult to read. And I will admit that there are parts of the Bible that are confusing and difficult to understand, but then there are parts of the Bible that are straightforward and delightful to read. The story of the birth of Jesus is beloved because it is such a great story to read. The 23rd Psalm is cherished because it speaks so simply. And so we might have to work harder to understand some parts of the Bible, and that's what Bible study groups are for. But there are plenty of parts of the Bible that are not only easy to read, but in the words of our psalmist, delightful to read. But maybe the most challenging barrier to reading the Bible is trying to figure out its relevance. A while back, I read about a man whose father had died, and he rented a truck and drove to South Carolina to pick up some of the furniture that had belonged to his deceased father. And he decided that on the way back, he would visit some of those small, quaint little towns in the mountainous areas of South Carolina and just see what he might discover on the way. And so, trying to figure out where to go, he found in his father's house an old atlas, and he circled various towns he wanted to visit and plotted a route. And so he visited all those towns over a couple of days, and then he decided it was time to head back home. And so he took that atlas out and looked to see how he might get back on the interstate. And then he discovered there were no interstates on that map. The map had been printed in 1960. Well before the interstate was built in that area. His map was no longer relevant. And many people look at the Bible the same way, because the world has changed a lot from when the Bible was written. And so you ask the question, what can I possibly get out of reading this Bible? And yet, the Bible still speaks to the human yearnings that fill all of us. On a clear night, I can look up at the sky. And when I do, I am filled with awe and wonder at the universe that I can perceive there. And when I do, I think of Psalm 8, which begins, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have made and set in place, what is humanity that you are mindful of us?" That's what the Bible speaks to. Not a description of the moon and the stars, but to that human question, who is God and why is God mindful of us? Beyond and behind our knowledge and all our advancements and all our discoveries, there is still a yearning to be connected with the holiness of God. And it is that yearning that the Bible speaks to. And it will be always relevant to that. The season of Lent begins in a week and a half, and many of you will look to do something special for the season of Lent. Some of you will give up something, like chocolate. Others will do something extra for Lent, like serve at a soup kitchen. But I'm going to invite all of you to make Lent the time you get reacquainted with your Bible. And to help you start, I suggest you begin not with the whole thing, not even at the beginning with Genesis. Start by reading the book of Luke in the New Testament. Make reading the book of Luke your goal for the season of Lent. It is readable. It has many of the stories and parables that you will find familiar. And best of all, it begins with the Christmas story, and what could be better than that? As the writer of Psalm 119 put it, "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes I will not forget your word. Amen.